Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is May Day 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President Information Sales. How you doing, Nicole?
Hey, Mike. When you first said May Day, I got nervous. I thought you were waving a flag. I need some help. I need help.
Well, you know, hey, it is Friday. It is May 1st, and happy Friday to everybody out there. And boy, those Chicago White Sox have quite the season. I held that joke last week, but you know, you could use it for any team that has had its struggles over the years. We could even say it for the Raiders.
Yeah, you definitely could. You know?
Oh gosh, but it's not football season. But yeah.
Anyway,
So that's happening in sports.
Right. You know, hey, I know a lot of people are really missing sports. And anyone who listens to our podcast regularly knows that we have a few folks in our office that swear they could have had careers as sports commentators. And honestly, I miss sports too, so much that my mind sometimes drifts to sports in the most random ways. So for instance, Mike, question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever noticed that two of the biggest sports franchises in Chicago are named after market rivals?
Huh.
You can guess them? Come on.
After market rivals?
After market.
Bears and the Bulls.
The Bears and the Bulls. The Bears and the Bulls, of course.
The Bears.
We're showing our age here.
I don't think
Mike Dicta impersonations have been on TV in a long time. But it's the Bears and the Bulls. And, you know, the market is also sort of a competition or a battle between the Bulls and the Bears. And right now, the Bears are up on the scoreboard. And the reality is, as it stands today anyway, there are far more factors pointing towards the markets remaining in the favor of the Bears than the Bulls. And you know why?
Why?
You know why that is?
Why?
The Bears got this draft pick.
Uh-huh.
I think based on his name, he may be Eastern European or something.
Uh-huh.
But his name is COVID.
Oh.
And that man is positioned to be Rookie of the Year in terms of scores for the Bears.
Oh, my gosh. So, I think he went to Hudson Bay High School in Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, that's
possible. That's where I went.
Yeah. And you're known for just producing great athletes, Michael. I know it. I know that high school is known for that. But
it's cross country.
Cross country. Hey, it's a sport.
But
that leaves us asking, what can turn things around for the Bulls?
Ah, what a great idea for this podcast, Nicole.
Exactly. So if you want to consider how the Bulls can make a comeback in this game, there's basically three strategies to consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your supply factors, demand factors, and the unexpected, because in this scenario, the Bulls really need a game changer, right?
I thought you were going to say LeBron James.
Yeah, well, he would be a game changer. I'm not sure if he's investing in commodity futures right now or not, but, you know, maybe if he went long commodity futures, he could be that game changer. So let's start with the supply side.
Okay.
Now, just one exception here. In the Sugar League, the Bulls are killing it. In the U.S. Sugar League, really the only league where the Bulls have the upper hand. And in that case, you know, the game changer did come from supply or lack thereof, you know, with the force majeures in the U.S., issues with production in Mexico.
Yep.
And who knows, demand may end up being the pick and roll that stops the Bulls in that market.
Ooh, I like that. Because they lost John Stockton and...
Right.
Larry Bird. They lost those two this year.
Yes.
That was
I didn't know where you were going with that. But sure, Mike. Time will tell. We'll see what happens. But for other markets like corn, soybeans, and edible oils, the supply strategy for the Bulls would have to be something like weather. Now, unfortunately for the Bulls, that hasn't netted any support thus far. You know, although the weather isn't perfect in the Midwest, it has been good enough to allow corn and soybean plantings to run ahead of schedule. And in fact, both are running ahead of the 5-year average. Now, of course, things could always take a turn towards the adverse later in the season. However, that's more of a play for soybeans than corn. So if you look at soybeans, the balance sheet for soybeans, it's tight enough that a minimal drop of, say, 1 million acres from the March projection would be or could be impactful to ending stocks. And you throw in some big purchases from China this year or next, and the bears are back in the game. Mm. Not necessarily the case for corn. And we could drop acreage by 6 million and still end up with a stocks to use ratio well above 15%.
Wow.
So probably looking better for soy to get a bull's comeback there. Now, COVID could look for a trade through the middle of the season and create some problems for the bear.
Is that the time for LeBron yet?
No, not yet. Not quite. So COVID could look for a trade, though, in the middle of the season and create some problems for the bears.
Mm.
That could be in the form of impacting processing capacity and making inventories of end products a little tighter, which would then be supportive to the bulls.
Refrigerator Perry.
Refrigerator Perry, there you go. You're old. Or he could not show up later in the season, reducing his influence in the game. And in that regard, timing becomes a big deal. If he plays hard for this next quarter, this season might be in the books, leaving the opportunity or leaving little opportunity, I should say, for the bulls to recover.
Okay.
So that's the first factor. Now, let's consider demand. And oh boy, when we try to consider a demand play for the bulls, they need a Hail Mary. Think I'm switching it up for you, Sue.
Oh, switch you. That up. Doug Flutie.
There you go. Oh. Exactly. Better. There you go. Now, the problem with finding bullish factors for grain and oil markets is that you need a Bill Belichick strategy or a Tony Dungy, a Tony Dungy assembled team to outsmart COVID. You like that?
I do.
So
why didn't you say Pete Carroll?
Or Pete Carroll. Thank you. Seattle. Yikes. Pete Carroll. There you go. Now for corn, it doesn't appear this will come from the ethanol or feed categories. And considering some of the latest developments in the livestock industry and the fact producers were already taking a bit of a hit to profitability before COVID, with him in the quarterback position, he's showing to be a pretty fierce competitor. Now, the most plausible consideration available for the bulls as far as demand is concerned would be an immaculate reception in the form of major purchases from China.
Okay.
Like that?
I got that. That was good.
Now, that I slid that one in there. Very plausible with the phase one deal in place as Chinese purchases of soy and corn have already started to ramp up. Now, reportedly, China is looking to purchase about 10 million metric tons of soybeans in the, even within the current crop year. And that could certainly turn things around for the bulls, at least for the soybean market and accordingly, the rest of the soy complex. Now, for corn, we need a likewise move. And the problem is prices are much better for origination out of South America.
Uh-oh.
So in order to make and the key to making this all work is cooperation.
Steve Kerr.
Well, actually, Jordan and Pippen.
Oh,
you need the two together. In this sense, you need
poor Kerr.
You need two heads of state. poor Kerr. Two heads of state to agree on something, which may be a big ask considering everybody's on edge about this COVID character.
Correct.
But we need, you know, some at least workable relationship between the U.S. And China to get that going. So that leaves us with that last factor, the unexpected.
Mark Jackson. You know,
yeah. In any game, there can always be this unexpected situation, an injury or something that changes things up.
Chris Wondolowski.
Yes, Wondolowski. Yes, yes. Oh, you're going to like this in a second. Okay, I'm going to get some soccer in there for you, too. Oh,
thank you.
Now, but I have a question for you.
Yep.
Who would you say in any game has the ability to change the direction of the game with a mere hand gesture?
Holy cow.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
They have the whistles.
The ref.
The refs, of course.
Are they are they betting on the game?
Let's hope not. maybe. Because in our sports metaphor, the refs are represented by the government.
Oh, no.
Now, see, you didn't even know you were walking into that one. But wow, you did. So, perfect segue there.
Okay.
Now, typically the refs make calls based on the rule book, right? But yes. Considering these are unprecedented times, the normal rules of engagement may not apply.
That wasn't a foul.
So, maybe. So our biggest unexpected factor is how the government may step in to deal with these demand issues that exist in so many different arenas. Perfect example would be this executive decision to force meat processing plants to open.
Okay.
Now, prior to that decision, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, we could see hits to corn and soybean demand, both from piglets that are euthanized and therefore not replenishing what was lost, and the euthanasia of sows, which would impact future pig crops and hog inventories and ultimately feed demand. But to throw another bit of a curveball in there, the decision came after quite a bit of livestock was already euthanized. So that could create some interesting scenarios for demand for corn or soybean meal for feed, or the values of DDGs, and then how that impacts soybean meal and corn demand for feed. So that could make things very interesting, and depending on how things go, could also add some support. Now, I know you know, you love soccer or football.
I do.
However you want to look at it.
World's game.
Now, it is the world's game. Now, in soccer or football, you have a referee and assistant referees, right?
Yeah, sideline judges.
Sideline judges. Now, to make things even more complicated, you've got multiple refs making decisions that can impact both supply and demand in the form of the state and local governments.
Yes.
So, at least to a degree, those governments have say in how things operate within their own state or local municipalities.
Yep.
And they could offer the Bulls, or the Bears for that matter, a sort of penalty kick. And in the case of the Bulls, they could do so by offering funding to businesses that stem losses and prevent them from going under, propping up demand, or facilitating faster reopening of businesses. Now, they just have to hope that some of those strategies don't manage to keep them in the half, but eventually cost them the game. So what does that leave us with?
Instant replay.
instant replay and repel. Both of them are pretty awesome. So that leaves us with only the most important folks for any franchise. Who are the most important folks for any franchise, Michael?
The most, are we still relating to soccer? Because I would say designated players.
Any sport.
The designated player?
No.
Oh, who?
The fans. The fans are the most important folks for any franchise because they, you know, they keep things moving.
You're right.
See, and those fans are market participants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got those diehard fans, like those who support the Browns or the Padres or the Knicks.
The Raiders.
They'll be around. You don't worry about them. Those would be our commercial market participants.
Okay.
But the folks I'm referring to are those fickle fans, those fans that are quick to jump on the bandwagon when a team is up, or abandon ship when all hope seems lost. Speculators.
Fair weather fans, the guys that are buying up the tickets to increase my ticket price for my seat, so I have to pay
exactly
$15 for a beer.
Right. Exactly. Now,
I don't like that.
I know. It kind of sucks. But ironically, though those fans won't ride or die with the team,
right?
They are important to the overall health of a franchise.
Yes.
So those speculators are capable of helping Bears, but they're also capable of supporting the Bulls.
Got it.
For instance, if they think COVID is going to be an issue for longer than expected, they might flock to commodity markets, getting out of the equity side of things.
Sure.
Leaving stocks by the side for a moment. And if not propping them up necessarily, they could plausibly limit their losses.
Aha.
Or they could also lead to some trading days with strong upward momentum as they liquidate shorts and take their winnings to your point of buying up those tickets and turning around and selling them at a higher price.
That's right.
That could happen. But I'll just say this, regardless of how all this pans out, we're all speculators. or not speculators, we're all spectators. That's what I meant by that. I don't have any money in the futures market. For the record, I don't have any money in the futures market.
Neither do I.
We're all spectators.
There you go. There you go.
And some of us are rooting for the Bears to maintain control of this game as long as possible.
Go Ditka.
And again, yeah, go Ditka. And right now, they have the advantage. Right. But the Bulls might just serve us something up when we're not paying attention and keeping our eye on the ball.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
That was
awesome. I gave you sports, Michael.
Unreal.
You like that?
Unreal. And I'm so proud of myself for even coming up with more than five sports names to reference. So.
And they even though all of them were before 2000.
I know.
Mike, a few of them before 1990.
Yeah, I know.
But
I'm old.
You know.
Yeah, we're going to do. Yeah, well, that was a lot of fun, Nicole. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute with your friends and family. And Nicole, I want you to have a good weekend.
Thank you. You have a great weekend as well, Michael. Go Bears or Bulls.
Go Bears.
Whoever you're for.
Yeah. The Earthquakes?
Earthquakes. Go Earthquakes.
Yay.
Go Earthquakes.
All right. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye now.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.